Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to be back. So good to be back. I was traveling, not just I, traveling along with my extremely attractive audio engineer. Traveled out west. So anyway, I'm in the airport, okay? Walk with me on this. Picture this in your mind's eye. I'm standing at the airport. I've removed my shoes. I've taken my laptop out. I've put my toiletries in the basket. And they're rolling up through the $500,000 x-ray machine. Just as my belongings enter on the conveyor belt, I step up to the $200,000 super scanning x-ray machine. And I step in as I'm instructed by the mean-faced lady there. And I get up in there. I put my hands up over my head, right, as if I'm about to be robbed. I've lost almost all human dignity at this point, but I haven't lost all of it. Because the lady says to me, "Is there anything in your pockets, sir?" To which I replied, "I guess you're about to find out." Thinking that was funny. I thought that was funny. She did not think that was funny, as a matter of fact. She said, "Is there anything in your pocket, sir?" And I just said, "No, ma'am." And so the scanner goes off and it does its swip and its swish, right? Then I step out and I said, "Don't you see the irony of me standing in a $200,000 super mega x-ray machine and you asking me if I have anything in my pockets?" She did not see the irony, and when I looked into her eyes, I realized she probably did not know what the word irony meant. She just gave me a mean look and said, "You can go." And so I went off out to parts unknown and with my extremely attractive audio engineer, who apparently didn't find that very funny either. But I thought it was hilarious. Are you just not into it?
I'm sorry.
Never mind. You don't have to laugh at all my jokes. It's not that big of a deal. Anyway, needless to say, I didn't have anything in my pockets. I was allowed to get on the airplane, and the airplane was not hijacked by terrorists. Although, has anyone noticed that almost everyone who works at the airport looks like they're from Africa or the Middle East? Is it just me? And I'm not saying that to be racist. I mean, there's just an inordinate number of head coverings and people who look like they just got off a pirate ship out of Somalia at the airport. Am I racist to notice that? The headscarves? And maybe? Anyway, it just strikes me as odd that that the airports, I don't know, maybe it's like a typical factory-type work. You know, one Filipino gets in there, and before you know it, the whole place is full of Filipinos because all of his cousins and his nephews and his aunts and uncles. Maybe that's it. Maybe 30 years ago, some Somali guy and some Eritrean and a couple of Pakistanis got gigs at the airport, and just slowly over the decades, they've invited their whole families. Maybe that's all it is. It just strikes me as odd. That's all. I'm not saying it makes me uncomfortable. I'm saying it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. That's all. Okay. Now, should we go right to the news here? Okay, I will go. Let's start with some politics news. I wasn't sure how to classify this story. CNS News is reporting that there is a federal department that is spending $100 billion per month. That's not $100 million. It's $100 billion, which means every 10 months they're spending $1 trillion. So walk with me, kiddos, on this if you didn't make it through much math class like me or like I. Did I say me or should I say I? Like me? Anyway, my public school is showing. So a million is 1,000,000, okay? That's a million. A billion is 1,000,000,000, okay? A trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. Anyway, that's just a lot of money. And anyway, so it's not the Department of Defense that's spending $100 billion per month. No, it is the Department of Health and Human Services. What is a human service? By definition, shouldn't a human be carried out by a human service? Shouldn't a human service be carried out by a human and not the government? I'm just saying, maybe. I don't know. I'm not even sure what a human service is. I think that involves taking money from me and giving it to other people who didn't earn it. I believe that's the human service that they provide. And they're providing that service at the clip of $100 billion per month. Yes, I know. Under the conservative governance of our president and Senate, they're $100 billion a month. Well, so much for that line, that famous line, America will never be a socialist country. So much for that, because $100 billion a month is, I think that qualifies. All right, that's fairly embarrassing. You know, that's just proving the old axiom that, you know, the Republicans complain about spending until they get in office, and then they spend more than the Democrats. But people who, Rush Limbaugh listeners just don't seem to notice. They don't seem to notice. Sean Hannity's fan base doesn't seem to notice. They miss a lot of stuff. Now let's go to reason number 1,200 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. This comes to us from WKRN in Pennsylvania. Dateline Kingston, Pennsylvania, the Associated Press reports that a Pennsylvania school district sent out a letter. It sent out a letter to parents regarding overdue free lunch money debt. I guess it's not free lunch, right? If it was a free lunch, nobody would be in debt over it except me, the guy they're taking all the money from. No, these are reduced cost lunches, perhaps breakfast. Basically, it's food. So the school district is owed some $20,000 by parents who just don't pay their bills. And so they sent home a letter warning these deadbeat parents that their children could end up in foster care if they didn't pay their overdue school lunch bills. And then everybody freaked out about it. Because it turns out that that's not even remotely possibly going to happen. But anyway, I'm just wondering how many parents wanted to take them up on that. Since they're already handing their kids over for breakfast and lunch and about 8 hours a day, I'm sure there are a number of parents who would like to have the foster care option. And if it means I don't have to pay my school lunch bill, then, well, all the better. I'm guessing more than a few parents could be interested in taking advantage of the foster parent option. So I wonder if they had any parents write back saying, how do I get in on this? All right. Now let's go. Speaking of Trump fans and Sean Hannity's base missing a lot of things, we go to the politics file where Donald Trump hosted a rally out in North Carolina. You may or may not have seen it. You may or may not have heard it. I got to hear all about it because I have one particular client. Every time she calls, I have to sit through a rah-rah Trump speech before she places her order. And I always dutifully sit through and hear her talk about how wonderful Donald Trump is and how he was ordained by God to save America and all that stuff. And then I finally get down to the point of, okay, did you need to order anything? No, Donald Trump is I did hear that. I did see that. Yes. I try not to actually agree with her, but I do hear her out because whatever, she's paying my bills. Anyway, she starts telling me all about this North Carolina Trump rally that she watched from, I think she camped out in her car the night before just so she could get the feeling of it. And then she went in and turned on Fox News and started watching it. So she told me all about the chant, you know, send her back, send them back, whatever it was. She told me all about that. And I, by the way, my take on that is, I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny and I thought it was instructive about how normal Americans feel about all these criminally insane left-wing maniacs taking pot shots at all the best parts of our country. The country, by the way, that kept them fed and homestead so comfortably ever since they got here. And I know three of them were born here. So I'm just saying, ever since they got here, they've been quite comfortable. And the one from Somalia who snuck in, possibly married to her brother, she's been quite comfortable since the day she landed here. So I think she should be encouraged. Well, you know what? We could just take each one of them. You know, Alexandria Cortez, she should be encouraged to return to the bar that she was working at in the Bronx before she somehow bamboozled enough old folks' homes there in New York to elect her. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib, is that it? Is it Tlaib? Has she pointed out to all these crackers that they're mispronouncing her name? Because the letters don't add up to Tlaib. It looks like Tlaib. But it's hard for Americans to pronounce Tlaib because it's so weird of a name. It's so foreign to us. Excuse me if I'm offensive. Anyway, Ilhan should be encouraged to return to Somalia. And Rashida Tlaib, she should be encouraged to return to whatever Muslim enclave in Michigan that she came from. Yeah, they should both be encouraged. AOC, back to the bar. And then Ayanna Pressley, who I must confess I only became aware of during this most recent news cycle because I just never heard of her before. But I got to see her on the TV there, and she should go back to the carpet store where she got those hair extensions. Whoever did that to her, she should demand her money back for all that. But where was I? Oh, yes, I was talking to my client about how wonderful Donald Trump was. She talks all about the crowd and the energy and the bold and glorious leadership of Donald Trump and how great the rally was. The one thing she didn't mention is the fact that Donald Trump took the Lord's name in vain twice on stage. Yes, he did. He used the GD slur against the living God. He used God's name as a curse word. Twice. And my lovely Christian client never noticed it. It apparently went right over her head. Well, the Charlotte Observer noticed it, and they reported that some Christians are grumbling. Grumbling over the fact that he took the Lord's name in vain. Mm-hmm. Then they go on to talk about how the House of Representatives voted to condemn Donald Trump's tweets as racist. Racist. The House... They condemn a tweet that, I mean, it could be perceived as racist, I suppose, if you're really thin-skinned and unsure of yourself and lack self-confidence. You might perceive that as racist. But the House was quick to vote on that. But they ignored the actual violation of the Ten Commandments because they didn't even notice. Because most of the people in the House of Representatives aren't even aware of what the Ten Commandments are. They couldn't even name the first one. And so they didn't notice that he broke one of them twice right there on stage in front of a whole bunch of evangelicals, by the way, who also didn't notice. Or if they did notice, they did like they've decided to do with Donald Trump. They've decided they're going to let it slide. They're going to let it slide, and Donald Trump's going to end up in hell. And it's going to be partially to blame the Christians, the alleged Christians, the evangelicals, be partially to blame when Donald Trump is turning on a spit in the fires of hell for all of eternity. I'm on my way to the promised land. Woo! I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. Stop me! Now, was that... Yeah, here we go. There, uh-huh. You know where you're going. Now, was that for Donald Trump, or was that for Ilhan Omar or Alexandria? For all of them. All of you! Uh-huh, there you go. So don't say that we didn't warn Donald Trump that he's on a highway to hell, because that's where he's headed. And he's going to have to spend all of eternity with the squad. Can you imagine that? Talk about punishment, too. Oh, and by the way, who started calling these leftist commie women? Who started calling them the squad? Was that the squad? Is that... Now, there are four of them, so that does work. But, you know, squad is a military term. Yeah, I know that because I was a squad leader. That's right. In the Marine Corps, it's a squad leader is... Well, basically, you got a fire team is a squad leader and 2 4-man rifle teams. And it doesn't look to me like Tlaib and Ilhan or the Mexican chick or the other one I never heard of. It doesn't look like any of them could handle a rifle. I would not want any one of them to be on my fire team. Certainly not. Although they could probably use my leadership. Uh-huh. All right. So do you? I want to know who decided to call them the squad. I think it's them, because I think they're fairly militant. And when it comes to militant leftists, I kind of feel the same way about them as I feel about Iran. I just want to say, hey, come on over here. Let's get it on. So the Iranians seize the British ship, and the British are apparently helpless. It's embarrassing. How embarrassing to have a third-rate dictatorship take one of your vessels on the high seas, and you can't do anything about it. You're just sitting there like, what? I don't get it. It's just so embarrassing. Anyway, the fact that the Allies, and I mean the French, the Americans, the British, the Canadians, the Australians, the traditional World War II Allies, the fact that we have allowed insane, suicidal Islamic fanatics to rule in Iran for 40 years is a giant black mark against us. And it's also a barometer of the moral bankruptcy from which the West is suffering right now. Yes, we're too busy trying to track down who's misgendering who, while the psychopathic, suicidal, homicidal maniacs have been allowed to hijack a nation in the Middle East. Well, by the way, one of the most formidable nations in all of world history, by the way. Going all the way back to the Persians and Artaxerxes and Darius and all of that. I mean, a once fine Persian tradition, at times fine, at times better than others. But, you know, they don't even teach people anymore that up until the 1930s, when the Persians were trying to play footsie with the Nazis, there was no such thing as Iran. Iran is a takeoff on the whole Aryan race and all of that garbage when they were trying to get in tight with the Nazis. Go ahead, go look it up. Iran is a fake, phony, made-up name. It's not even real. And now a fake, phony, baloney, third-rate dictatorship has taken a British ship. I mean, so much for the days of Britain ruling the seas. My goodness, that's just embarrassing. Anyway, at some point, we will have to get it on with Iran because they must be destroyed. It's not that we should start thinking about it. It's the day they took over Iran, there was one reality. They must be destroyed. The Islamic maniacs who've taken over Iran must be killed. And power must be taken from them. Well, I guess that would go along with killing them, I suppose. In fact, if we kill them, we won't have to wrest power from them, as a matter of fact. If we would just start killing the mullahs, the people, the Persians would rise up. And maybe they'd change their name back to Persia, for crying out loud. That'd be something. You know, it was a Persian king who ordered the rebuilding of the temple by, I think, Hezekiah. Am I right on that? What are the three books there? The three books that talk about the rebuilding of the temple are... I'm having a hard time here. Nehemiah. By Nehemiah. Ezra. Yes, Nehemiah, Ezra, And there's a third book. Anyway, you should read all three of Esther. Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther. Read them all. In fact, read Esther first because it actually happened first. And then read Ezra and then read Nehemiah because they're in the Bible in reverse chronological order. I think just to mess with people who hate God. Just so they can be confused about stuff. I think that's why God did it that way. He likes that, you know. He likes to give people the rope with which to hang themselves. But then if they repent, and, they, you know, he'll use that rope to pull them up out of hell. But anyway, check those three books out. You'll see that the Persians at one time had a king on their throne who believed in the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as a matter of fact. Yes. All right, now, let's move on now to the Justice File, where the Department of Justice, according to the Wall Street Journal, is about to implement what they call the First Step Act. It's the First Step Act, and it's not a dance. No, it's going to involve the release of almost 1,700 federal inmates who've already qualified for release under Donald Trump's, was it Kanye West? No, it wasn't Kanye West. Who was it? The girl. The Dominican girl who visits the president and then people get out of jail. I can't remember her name. Beyonce. Is that it? I don't remember who it is, but some pop star slut type visited the president and someone got out of jail now, and now he's going to release all kinds of crack dealers and dope dealers. More than 1,100 have already walked out of prison. Another couple thousand are going to get out. And officials have unveiled the centerpiece of the law, which is a risk needs assessment through which inmates will be evaluated to see what programs and treatments could help reduce the risk of reoffending. Yeah, so they're going to just start letting the prisoners out. The First Step Act. It's all very interesting. Anyway, so now I know why I'm thinking of Kanye West. You got the President of the United States. Folks, can you believe this? For all of you evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump, let me just tell you that at the end of the day, you're going to be extremely embarrassed, either in this life or the next. I'm not sure which. Well, I'm sure of the next, but maybe in this life too. I mean, listen to this. You've got the President of the United States taking a phone call from Kanye West, a degenerate pop star who wants to lobby the president to get another degenerate rap artist out of jail in Sweden, where his entourage got into a fist fight, and he's sitting in jail, just like he should be, awaiting trial. But Donald Trump takes Kanye West's call and then calls the president of Sweden about some punk who got into a street brawl in Sweden. It's just embarrassing. I mean, if you're not embarrassed already, then you may be too far gone for me to even be able to reach you, because you should already be embarrassed about Donald Trump. All right. So yeah, now Trump is going to start freeing the prisoners that either Beyonce or I don't know who it was, but one of these pop sluts that he actually lets her into the White House. If I was Melania, I'd have slammed the door out and say, "Don't let that slut in here. What is your problem? You can talk to her on the phone. No, talk to her via Twitter. She's not coming in my house." Anyway, but Melania didn't say that because, you know, Melania, as nice as she seems to be, it's pretty obvious that she's already decided that she's going to accept certain things about Don, certain unsavory, unpleasant things because, well, she likes the shoes and the money and all that.
Wait a minute, she wasn't one of those.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, isn't she like a stripper who posed nude and, yeah. So she didn't have to give up any of her principles. She didn't have to sacrifice any moral foundation because she didn't have one. And yeah, I'm sure she's a wonderful person. All right. Now, meanwhile, over in San Diego, the student council in San Diego has approved an ordinance over there. An ordinance, I said. Yes. They're going to ordain something. Mm-hmm. Their ordinance says that gun owners have to store their guns in a locked container. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. You have to lock your guns up in a box or a trigger lock, something like that. And they say they've ordained this with the intention of reducing accidental shootings, children's access to guns, and suicides. Suicides. Okay. Wendy, the founder of San Diegans for Gun Violence Prevention, framed the ordinance as a way to keep military veterans, first responders, and law enforcement officers from, like, committing suicide. Unquote. That's what Wendy said. So they want people to lock up their guns so that veterans, first responders, and law enforcement officers will stop committing suicide. Now, suicide is a problem. Don't get me wrong. I mean, according to this article from Fox 5 in San Diego, 97 police officers and 46 firefighters have killed themselves across the country since the beginning of this year. And so Wendy, the founder of San Diegans for Gun Violence Prevention, she thinks that making people lock their guns up will prevent the suicides, and that's because Wendy's a moron. She's an idiot. You don't really need a gun to commit suicide. Although the gun is probably the fastest, most efficient manner, but people commit suicide all kinds of ways, Wendy. City Councilwoman Jennifer, not to be outdone by Wendy, City Councilwoman Jennifer supported the ordinance due to the caliber of weapons currently available to the public. This is a person who's obviously never touched a firearm in her life. She's afraid of the caliber of weapons. You know, Jennifer, a .22 caliber Saturday Night Special will kill a child just as dead as a .44 Magnum. You know, you should just teach your kids how to use guns. Teach them to respect guns. Teach them that they're not allowed to play with the guns. But teach your kids about guns so they're not afraid of guns. They should... A gun is a tool that can be valuable, and it can be very important at certain times. It's also a deadly serious thing. And guns are a great way to teach your children that life is a deadly serious thing. Guns are a fantastic way to introduce your children to the concept that their actions mean something of eternal consequence. Your actions have consequences. There's no better way to learn that than firing a pistol at a watermelon or a bottle of water and watching it explode. It's very instructive. Now, meanwhile, we'll move on from the student council out there in San Diego. We'll move to the justice file. Wow. So, according to Click Orlando out of Orlando, Florida, the Gilchrist County Sheriff's Office says a man broke into his neighbor's home last week. He tied him up and then cut off, well, let's just say mutilated his genitals with scissors. And then he took the man's severed appendage and fled across the street to his own house, where deputies moved in and arrested him. Now, the deputies say that the motive is still under investigation. They're not sure why one man would go into another man's house across the street and violently remove an appendage with a pair of scissors. But there is an arrest report from the month of May that indicates that the man with the scissors caught the man who is now without the appendage with his wife. So one guy catches another guy with his wife. And now if he could have called the police and said, hey, this guy seduced my wife, I want him arrested. If he would have been able to call the police, if adultery was still a crime, an enforceable crime, this guy could have called the police, the man would have been arrested, put on trial, justice could have been done. And he most likely would have not have opted for the scissors and that whole thing, because you know that was unpleasant. But this guy had no one to call. He had no recourse. And he had caught the guy with his wife, and he knew what was going on. And you know what that leads to quite often? It leads to violence, and that's why we need justice. Because if justice had been done on the one hand, he wouldn't have grabbed the scissors with the other hand. I bet that's what it felt like being in between two tigers. That sounds pretty rough. All right, but the guy couldn't call the cops. He couldn't have him put in jail. No. Anyway, so let's move from there to the death penalty, the death penalty file, where Dale Williams Sr., a 62-year-old man, was about to be sentenced. He was about to be sentenced in Ohio for murdering 46-year-old Elizabeth Pledger Stewart. He murdered her 2 years ago in Youngstown, Ohio, and he had earlier pleaded guilty to aggravated murder, and he was about to be sentenced, and the victim's daughter was about to make one of those victim impact statements inside the courtroom when her brother suddenly lunged at the murderer and knocked him to the floor, and then another brother jumped on, and they just started pummeling this guy. One of the best videos you will ever watch are these two brothers just pummeling this guy and the cops trying to get the brothers off the killer. Oh, by the way, the story's from the New York Post. The New York Post, in this paragraph, says that the brothers lunged at the accused murderer. Excuse me, New York Post. Number one, he's already pled guilty to killing the woman. So he's not an accused murderer anymore. He's a murderer. I don't know who's doing the editing over at the New York Post, but you might want to tell them that this was a sentencing. So he's not an accused murderer. He's an actual murderer. And now the murderer that the brothers pummeled, he could face 23 years to life. Ironically enough, he could get life. And you know what should happen here is what almost did happen here, is that the two brothers should be the ones to execute this guy. Because, see, this is very instructive of what crime does, especially murder. Murder causes rage in the hearts of the victim's family. Rage, serious rage, and justifiable rage. And that rage should be vented in a positive, constructive manner in killing the guilty party, because then all your rage is gone and you don't have to deal the rest of your life wondering, why do I still hate this guy? How come I'm unable to forgive him? Well, it's because you should hate him and you're under no obligation to forgive him. In fact, you should be allowed to expend that rage upon his head and neck area until he is dead. And so there, the two brothers should be their hands should be the first upon him when he is to be duly executed. But of course he's not. He's going to get life, which means he'll get out of jail someday. That's what that means when you get life. Now let's go from there to another death penalty file story, where we check in with a pizza shop out in the Philadelphia area. What happened was, see, a woman left her three young children inside a running car as she went inside quickly to say hello to her boyfriend, who... So, and I know people think, oh, she's a terrible mother. Why? Why shouldn't you be able to leave your car running? It's a civilized country, right? We're not living in third world country where you have to have armed guards at the grocery store. We should be able to leave our car running like a civilized person. But no, she couldn't. But, well, what happened was a car thief jumped in the car and he stole the car with the children inside. So what happened was the guy got stuck in traffic just a couple of blocks away, and the father of the children caught up with him and beat him to death. The father, along with a crowd of people, dragged the car thief out of the car and beat him to death. So this guy got the death penalty. This guy got the death penalty for stealing a car. So you ask, should you get the death penalty for stealing a car? Well, no, you shouldn't, but you might. And so he got the death penalty for stealing a car. That's right. He did. He kidnapped the kids. Even if he didn't know the kids were in the car, see, he probably didn't know they were in there. And so that's what happens once you start with a criminal act. You're responsible for all the things that go horribly thereafter, including the original horrible crime that you're committing. Anyway, there's more I could say about this story, because this story is emblematic of the breakdown of America on so many levels.
She went to say hello to boyfriend.
Well, and not only that, The guy she went to say hello to was the father of two of the three kids in the car. So, hey, but chivalry is not dead. At least he beat the children's kidnapper to death. Now maybe he should think about marrying their mom. Maybe. He should. Let's see. Oh, by the way, the car thief who was beaten to death. I said this story is emblematic of the deterioration of our society on so many levels. The car thief had 24 prior arrests and convictions. This guy's been arrested and or convicted 24 times for significant crimes in the past. And yet there he is out on the street, able to steal a car with a couple of kids in it. And the only thing that put an end to this guy's crime spree was the guy who beat him to death in the middle of the street. All right, so there you go. That's the death penalty file. So, you know, because this guy wasn't given the death penalty years ago, I'm sure, when he should have been, he ended up endangering many other people with death and harm and end up getting himself killed in a rather untidy manner, beaten to death in the streets of Philadelphia. That's not a good way to go. Got to be embarrassing when you get to the other side. Well, how'd you die? Well, I stole this car, and then turns out there were some kids in there, and then I was beaten to death by a crowd, and then I died in a pool of my own urine, feces, and vomit. Yeah. All right, so now, speaking of things that are disgusting, let's go to the justice file, where a former photographer of JonBenet Ramsey has been indicted in Oregon on child pornography charges. Imagine that. Yeah, Randall DeWitt Simmons, a 66-year-old creepy pervert, was indicted in Springfield, Oregon on 15 counts of second-degree encouraging child sex abuse. So he's a child molester, is what he is. And this story, I only mention this story because this confirms what we all thought. Right? What it does is it confirms we all had every right to be creeped out when we saw those pictures of JonBenet, and we all had every right to suspect that there was some type of child abuse, child molestation involved in this whole thing. That's what we all thought, right? When you saw her picture back in 1995, six, was it? What do we all think? This is creepy, weird, disgusting. And now we know why. Is because some of the people involved were actually child molesters. All right. Well, I guess he hasn't been duly convicted. He's an accused child molester. Yeah. So we'll wait until after his trial to publicly call him a child molester. But if he's guilty, ladies and gentlemen, he's already a child molester, okay? We don't have to pretend like we have to go through court if he actually already did it, okay? Now, so that was all very... Now I feel like I need a shower. So let's go to this story. This is the real American hero story. We're going to talk about Mason Fierro. Yes, out in Albuquerque. He was up on a roof, putting a roof on a building. And that's hard work, I'll tell you what. He's up putting a roof on a building when flames appeared in the building next door. And him and his coworkers noticed a man who was screaming from a window on the second floor of the apartment complex that was on fire. And the man had a toddler in one arm and a baby in the other arm and was screaming, if afraid for his life, begging for help. So while Mason's co-workers and the rest of the construction crew were bringing ladders over to where the victim was, Fierro went and stood under him and he told the man to drop his children. He said, "I'll catch him." And here's what Fierro said. He said, "He dropped her, I caught her. Then they bring out the other little boy, 2 or 3 years old, and then I caught him as well." And the crowd went wild. It's like, wow, this guy is heroic. So anyway, and now I feel better. I feel a lot better. The fire, by the way, sent 3 people to hospital. All were in stable condition. The children were not injured, but Fierro is reportedly sore. But that's okay. A lot of times, when you do something that heroic, it can make you sore. It can be painful. All right. So thank you, Mason Fierro of Albuquerque, New Mexico, for restoring our faith in the fact that there are still some decent people out there, unlike Prince Charles. We got to go to Prince Charles, where he resides this week in our science, really, file. That's right. Prince Charles has issued, what does he call it? He has issued an 18-month climate tipping point. That's right. The Prince of Wales, according to Climate Depot, the Prince of Wales has warned global leaders that if we don't tackle climate change in the next 18 months, the human race will go extinct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's what he said, Prince Charles. He says, quote, I am firmly of the view that the next 18 months will decide our ability to keep climate change to survivable levels and to restore nature to the equilibrium we need for our survival. So 18 months is all we've got. Cortez thought we had 12 years. No. Prince Charles says we have 18 months, but I don't want you people to freak out. Step back from the ledge, okay? Because back in 2015, Prince Charles extended the 100-month climate tipping point to approximately 35 years. Uh-huh. He had previously issued a 100-month climate tipping point deadline back in 2009, and when that passed rather unceremoniously and uneventfully, the great scientist of our time, one of the most brilliant scientific minds of our time, Prince Charles, went back to, with his slide rule and his calculator, and he did some further ciphering and have determined that it's approximately 35 more years. Now, that was 2015. Let's do the math, kids. I'm not as smart as Prince Charles, but 2015 plus 35 years should be about 2050. Well, something's happened in between 2015 and now, because we went from like 30 more years to now only 18 months. And then Climate Depot is so funny. They have a link. A climate activist, Prince Charles, has his shoelaces ironed every morning and travels with his own toilet seat. They're just reminding us of who Prince Charles is and where his actual expertise lies. Lies? I don't know if it lie or lies, but it's certainly in there somewhere. By the way, the United Nations issued climate tipping points in 1982. And then when we all managed to somehow survive 1982, the United Nations issued another climate tipping point, a 10-year tipping point back in 1989, which would have expired in 1999, except they keep on extending it. And why do they keep on extending the climate tipping point? Is because the socialists have not yet been allowed to conquer the world. Power ballad of all power ballads. The most powerful of all power ballads. Sending that one out to my extremely attractive audio engineer.
No, this is for climate change.
Oh, that's for the climate change, guys. Oh, I got it. Okay. Now, speaking of climate change, we go to the decline and fall. So I want to mention some climate change out here in Colorado. 2 days ago, it was 100 degrees. With 14% humidity. Today it's 80 degrees with 75% humidity. Now that's climate change that I can deal with. The climate changes all the time. And for the younger people to allow the their professors and other adults in the room to bamboozle them into believing that we're destroying the earth and the climate is somehow fragile and it the next cheeseburger they eat is going to tip us into a downward spiral into eco hell. Listen, kid, you're only 25 years old. You don't know anything. You barely even notice the weather. You've barely even begun to notice that there is weather, for crying out loud. Don't let these adults... I mean, are you really that stupid? Is it possible that the young people are that stupid? I mean, I remember when I was young, I was pretty dumb. I'll be the first to admit it. I made some pretty bad, stupid, bad moves. I didn't know much, and I thought I knew a lot. The younger generation seems to not know much and then be afraid of everything that they don't even know yet. I don't know. I guess it's the public education system. It's the natural trajectory of public education is that the young people get dumber and dumber and more afraid, which is not a good thing. Now, we're going back to the decline and fall fire where the Atlantic Monthly, which is a left-wing, artsy-fartsy type magazine type thing, the Atlantic, it's for people who can't afford to subscribe to the New Yorker, so they subscribe to this so they can feel like they're cosmopolitan. They report that, the headline is, let me just read the headline. The future of the city is childless. Yes, yes. Since 2011, the Atlantic reports that the number of babies born in New York has declined 9%, 15% in Manhattan. San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, the fastest growing group in those cities are college-educated, upper-middle-class white girls without children. Oh, not just white girls, white people. They call them whites. We're going to assume that means people because we don't think they're talking about sheets or towels. These are whites without children. They're the fastest growing demographic in San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, D.C. Families with children older than six are in decline in all of these cities. And the Atlantic reports that in the biggest picture, it turns out that America's urban rebirth is missing a key element. Births. Well, that's good writing. I mean, it's a well-written description of a horribly tragic situation that's just sad. Just sad. Now we go to Florida for reason number 1,199, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A principal in Boca Raton has been fired because he refused to say that the Holocaust happened. So he refused to acknowledge that the Holocaust was a historical event, an historical event, I do believe. So the principal, the school district, they weren't sure what to do because what's a leftist to do? He's denying the Holocaust. We're all Jews. We're supposed to be offended, but we hate God. We hate Israel. So what they did was they assigned the principal to another unspecified position. Yeah, uh-huh. So they didn't actually fire him. He did what's called a lateral move. From principal to some other unspecified position within the district. Yes, he's a Holocaust denier, but, you know, what? We try to be free-thinking and open to new ideas in the government schools. In fact, we worship the idea of introducing children to ideas that their parents find anathema. That's what the public school, they worship that. That's their purpose in life, is to expose children to things that their parents would find despicable and horrible, well, like denying the Holocaust. And so the Spanish River High School principal, William Latson, is no longer the principal, but he still is employed there. I believe he is now the chief Holocaust denier for the district. And he'll be going on tour with
Jesse Jackson and Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's right. Now, we don't know who will be opening for who. They like to keep that a surprise until the end, right? But now it's now there's three stages at that particular. All right. Meanwhile, we go from denying the Holocaust to from the Strange New World file. CBS in Denver is reporting that there was a strong police presence outside an all-ages drag queen show in Denver. That's right. And so when I first read the headline, I thought, this is awesome that the police found out that they were doing one of these drag shows with the trannies and the freaks and the pervs, and they had invited children, so the police went to arrest all the creeps and the pervers. But it turns out the police were protecting the drag queens and the children that the drag queens were performing for. So the police were actually guarding the pedophiles against a group of people outside who were upset that pedophiles were being allowed to entertain the children. So this is definitely a strange new world, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in. I mean, the police no longer enforce what is good and right and just. They just enforce the law. And if the law says we have to tolerate trannies and creeps and perverts and pedophiles entertaining our children and reading them storybook hour, well, then the police will just go and they'll enforce that. And they'll keep the normal people from going in and doing what should be done, which would be taking the kids out of the presence. But you know what? When you read the article, it's the parents of the kids are the ones marching the kids into the drag queen story hour. It's really perverse and creepy and sad and indeed a strange new world. All right. So now, so we have the saga of Jeffrey Epstein continues, and more and more famous people are getting more and more nervous. I think he single-handedly preserved Benjamin Netanyahu's job because Ehud Barak had to admit that, yeah, he spent some time on the island with Jeff. That's right, very prominent Israeli politician and British. That's why I almost said British, because there's some Brits there. And of course, Bill Clinton. And now we have R. Kelly. Are you familiar with R. Kelly? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. She's not. You're not. Well, I'm not surprised. He's an R&B singer. Uh-huh. Okay. He's also a child molester, and he's been arrested on 13 counts, including child pornography. This has been coming for some time. But here's another multimillionaire, famous person. Who turns out to be a child molester. Another one. Meanwhile, over in China, the billionaire founding partner of the chairman of Seizen Holdings, a billionaire, has been arrested for child molestation. Billionaire Wang Zhenhua. He's famous in China. Let's see. He's been arrested along with a friend of his for molestation of an underage girl in a Shanghai hotel. So anyway, the tip of the iceberg has been revealed with Epstein, and it's just going to get uglier and uglier. And I hope they're all exposed. I hope they're all exposed and that everybody is appropriately shocked. But I'm not sure that that can happen anymore. I think that all of the child molesting millionaires and billionaires and actors, I think all of that is just going to further inure people from being able to feel the outrage that we should feel, because none of these people are going to be executed. And the minute you touch a child in a way like this, you should be killed. But no, they're going to be, they'll all get out of jail. They'll all, if they even go to jail, they'll get out again someday. All right. It's just a disgusting. And now from the surprise, I'm an idiot file. Jeff Bezos says that, he was asked in an interview, why it is that he's investing so much of his fortune in the development of space technologies. Why, Mr. Bezos, are you investing so heavily in space? And Bezos replied, because I think it's important, comma. Now, see, he should have stopped right there. But no, there's a comma there. There should have been a period there, and then we would all still think that Jeff Bezos is smart. But he said, I think it's important we humans have to go to space if we are going to continue to have a thriving civilization. We have become big as a population and a species, and this planet is relatively small. We are in the process of destroying this planet. Hey, Mr. Bezos, I'm sure I haven't been around as much as you. I haven't gone around the world as much as you, but I don't think the world's very small. I think it's pretty big. And I don't think you could invest every dime you have, Mr. Bezos, and all of your energy into destroying the planet, and you wouldn't be a pimple on the backside of the planet, Mr. Bezos. You wouldn't have the impact. Anyway, Mr. Bezos, you can't destroy the planet. We can't destroy the planet. None of us can destroy the planet. And the planet's not small. It's big. And it's mostly empty, by the way. Anyway, here's what Bezos goes on to say. He says, we could make things like microprocessors in space. And that way we don't have to have big factories and pollution-generating industries here on Earth. At which everyone said, man, I didn't know that guy was such an idiot. How did he get so rich? All right, so even some rich people, they're relatively moronic. All right, meanwhile, and we should probably end on this, because this is definitely a signal of the end of the world. This is from the culture file, from the sub file, the pop culture file, where Miley Cyrus has granted an interview to Elle Magazine, where she says that the Earth is angry. She says, the Earth feels a lot like women right now. The Earth is angry. Yeah, she says, we just take and take from the Earth and expect it to keep producing. And it's exhausted. It can't produce. Until I feel like my kid would live on an Earth with fish in the water, I am not bringing in another person to deal with this. So she says she's not going to reproduce. Probably a net positive for civilization if Miley Cyrus chooses not to reproduce. That's a sad commentary. She says, we don't want to reproduce because we know that the Earth can't handle it. Can't handle one more Cyrus. I mean, her dad single-handedly almost destroyed Western civilization. She's just... Anyways, we? Who's we? Is she talking about one of her other personalities? Oh, no. It turns out she's married. Did you know that? No, I didn't know that. Mostly because I don't really pay attention to Miley Cyrus. She's married to a man. But she says, don't take that the wrong way. She's still a freak. She says, I think it's very confusing to people that I'm married. My relationship is so complex and so modern and new. I definitely don't fit into a stereotypical wife role. I don't even like that word. What word? Stereotypical? That's because you can't spell it. You can barely even get that many syllables out of your mouth. That's why you don't like that word. All right, so that's it. I really don't want to do any more on Miley Cyrus. I don't even know if I want to link to this article because she's so vulgar throughout this article. I mean, this girl would make a... this girl could make a sailor blush the way she talks. Man, does your daddy know that you talk that way? Her daddy should have slapped her mouth. I'll tell you what, man. What a vulgar, disgusting, vile, foul, creepy, ugly human being. You know what I think of when I see her? Gonorrhea. That's the first thing that comes to my mind is gonorrhea. Don't ask me why. It's probably because I'm biased. All right, that's the Weekly Worldview for this week. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And at Real Science Radio, of course. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here at the Weekly Worldview, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.